Good afternoon. My name is Stephanie, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the TNA Hardcore Justice pay-per-view with Brooke Tessmacher. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. I'll now turn it over to Lindsey Bynum.
Hello, everyone. First of all, thank you for calling in to the TNA Hardcore Justice pay-per-view press conference with Brooke Tessmacher. So first of all, let's go over the preview for this Thursday's Impact Wrestling Live on Spike TV at 8, 7 Central. Impact will feature three big Bound for Glory series matches as a preview to the specialty bouts that will take place at the pay-per-view. This Thursday, Cowboy James Storm will face Bully Ray. The phenomenal AJ Styles takes on Kurt Angle, and Rob Van Dam will be in action against the Pope, D'Angelo De Niro. This past week, the Aces and Eights gang once again unleashed chaos on Impact Wrestling, and the accusations flew as Sting, Kurt Angle, and Bobby Roode questioned whether James Storm is behind the gang. Will we get any answers this Thursday, or just more questions? Is Brooke Hogan next on their hit list? Will Sting find a way to stop them? Also, Thursday's broadcast will feature the final confrontation between World Heavyweight Champion Austin Aries and Bobby Roode before their main event match at the Hardcore Justice event. Hardcore Justice, of course, is this Sunday, August 12th, and on the card we have X Division title match, Kenny King versus Zema Ion. We have Kid Cash and Gunner versus Chavo Guerrero and Hernandez. We have three BFG series matches. One is a ladder match, AJ Styles versus Kurt Angle versus Christopher Daniels versus Samoa Joe. A tables match with Jeff Hardy versus James Storm versus Bully Ray versus Robbie E. And we have the Falls Count Anywhere, Mr. Anderson versus Rob Van Dam versus the Pope versus Magnus. And, of course, we have our Knockouts title match, Ms. Tessmacher versus Madison Rayne, and World Heavyweight Championship Bobby Roode versus Austin Aries. We're ready for questions.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, that is star, then the number one to ask your question. Your first question comes from the line of Scott Fishman with the Miami Herald.
Hey, Brooke, how are you?
Hi, Scott. How are you doing?
Good. All right. Just wanted to get your thoughts on just the progress that you made. And what do you attribute that to, just the hard work and determination, or what are some of the things that, you know, you attribute the progress that you've made over the past couple months?
What has it taken? Is that what you're asking?
Well, what do you attribute the, you know, some of the, you know, what are some things that you did, or some people that, you know, came in and took under their wing? I mean, you know, Tara and everything, just you can go some detail on that.
It's been a long road, and I have been really, really given it everything I've had in the last couple months. When I first came into TNA and Impact, playing Mrs. Tessmacher and a secretary, you know, really wasn't fulfilling, and, you know, it wasn't utilizing to me my talent and what I wanted to do. So I knew that to make an impact, I had to go and really quit everything else that I was doing. You know, I gave up the Hooters pageant to start training, and I gave up another pageant and a few other modeling gigs because wrestling ended up being, you know, my life and the most important thing to me, I realized. And with it being the most difficult sport that I've ever been involved in, or the most difficult and biggest challenge, I did have to give away a lot of things for that. But, you know, as everyone knows, Tara did help me tremendously. She helped me in the ring and out of the ring. Also, Booker School with Paul Cook down here in Houston has helped me a lot. They're phenomenal. They really, you know, did a lot of one-on-one training with me, and without them, it you know, wouldn't be possible. And then, obviously, being on the road with such talented knockouts as Mickey James and Gail Kim and Tara, just to sit back and get, you know, a bird's eye view of them and how they perform has really, really helped me step up my games. You know, I'm constantly just watching and taking notes, and to be there to see them yourself, that's the best. That's the best way to climb up the ladder the quickest. And I just took what I was watching home and watched a lot of videos, a lot of tape. It's been a lot of man hours. You know, it's been tough, but now I'm living my dream, and it's all paid off, and it's still very surreal to me.
And just lastly, you talk about living your dream. We did a story on you and the profile, and you mentioned how you were homeless and had such a rough time growing up and everything. How has that, you know, kept you grounded and helped you appreciate the successes that you've had?
You know, like, when you have never had everything handed to you and you've had to work so hard, I guess it's something, like, it's expected for me to have to come into this company or come into, you know, the wrestling world and have to give it everything. So, you know, I'm used to that, but I can wake up every day and appreciate it and know that I did this. No one gave this to me. I had to sweat the sweat, bleed the blood, and do everything that it took to get here. And if I was to lose my career tomorrow, I would, you know, obviously I don't want that to happen, but I know I gave it everything I had and I actually got here. It's very, I can't explain, it's very epic to me. It's something that I hold close to my heart because, you know, I have had so many troubled things happen in my life, but it's a good story and a way to inspire others that, you know, no matter where you came from, your background, how much money you had, if you had parents, if you didn't, that shouldn't stop your goals and your determination to get there. So, you know, it has helped me stay grounded and realize that, you know, everything can be gone tomorrow. And, you know, it does take hard work.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Brady Hicks with Pro Wrestling.
Hey, Brooke, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Very good. Very excited to be here. Thanks for having me, guys. I was just curious, your opinion of where TNA is actually headed and the role that actual good women's wrestling might play in the company's future development.
You know, I think that women's wrestling has been tough over the years because, you know, this is a male-driven sport. But now that we have one of the toughest divisions out there and the best divisions out there, we can only go up. You know, we're shooting Impact Live now. We're going to more countries, more tours. So with having our division, we're only going to get better. And as over time, once we get more time, we're just going to keep proving ourselves. And I think we have made a huge impact in this company and in the wrestling world. And we're only going to continue to do that.
And a quick follow-up, if that's okay. Just based on your relative inexperience in the business and the fact that it's such a stacked roster in TNA in terms of the women, how humbling or exciting or whatever is that for you?
You know, I can't really describe it. It's crazy to sit back and look at these women that have been putting their bodies on the line for 10 years, 8 years, you know, Mickie James and Tara and Gail Kim, and to look at me and, you know, I've had maybe 50, 60 matches now, and for me to hold a championship and know that I'm the best at this time, it is very humbling. It is, it's a great feeling. It's an exciting feeling. I wake up every day with the biggest smile on my face to know that I'm up there with these women and compared to these women. I can only hope that I'll have a career as long as them and that, you know, I'll be able to hold this championship for as long as them, and if I lose it, just to get it back. You know, I want to build my career and just as they would, you know. They are amazing women, and it's crazy to be a part of it and compared to them.
Hey, best of luck with everything, and thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Your next question comes from Sean Radigan with Pro Wrestling Torch.
Hi, Brooke. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. I want to ask you first, with your improvement in the ring, do you think people are starting to take you more seriously as a women's wrestler as opposed to viewing you as a model in wrestling?
I do think that they are taking me a little bit more seriously. I think I came in and I really shocked people. I think that I did improve a tremendous amount in a short period of time, but that's just all the work that I was putting in going home. And I think for a while still I'll fight the whole stereotypical, oh, she's just a model, and that's fine, and I'll continue to keep improving everyone wrong. But I think right now I've finally opened everyone's eyes to say, oh, wow, you know, this girl, she can work. She can get in there. She isn't scared. You know, I'm a fighter. I'm a little firecracker, so I can only go up.
One quick follow-up. I want to ask you, how does your time in TNA compared to being a part of Extreme Exposé in WWE? And are there any similarities and differences you could point out?
sorry, I laughed just because I look back and you know, it's a great company, and it's awesome to say, you know, I worked for them, but there really is hardly any comparison of the two as far as my career in the company, you know. I just came out and did a sexy dance routine every week, and I was training back at home. I wasn't getting to use, you know, what I was learning back at home in practice and training. And I mean, it was fun. It was great, and I made some good friends, but, you know, I'm an athlete, and I wasn't fulfilled going there to do a dance routine every week, even though I wasn't trained enough to go have a full match. That was understandable, but I would have almost rather have been back training the whole time and, you know, getting closer to what I wanted to do rather than going to dance, you know. And here at Impact Wrestling, they really believed in me, and they gave me a chance, you know. They opened the door for me, and I just took it and kind of ran with it. So,
all right, thank you.
Big difference. Thank you.
Yeah.
Your next question comes from the line of Mike Johnson with PWInsider.com.
Hey, Brooke, how are you?
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing great. Let's talk about the title win when you beat Gail for the championship. What was going through your mind before the match, afterwards when it was over, and is there more pressure now to maintain that level now that you're the TNA Knockouts champion, or was there more pressure for you personally trying to get to that level?
Before the match, let's talk about that first. You know, I was so excited. It was all these emotions into one. And I remember sitting back behind before I walked out thinking, okay, you know, this is it. This is my one chance. You know, I'm getting this right now. If any other match, I have to be on my game. It has to be this. And I all of a sudden, like, just couldn't breathe, you know, in the crowd. And it was so loud. And it just kind of took over me. And I just... I think that something inside me said, you know what, I've been waiting for this moment for so long, you know, because I got so scared and freaked out, and then it just all calmed in me. And as soon as I entered the stage, I just knew I wanted that championship more than anything. And after, when I did win, I mean, the crowd was unbelievable. To win in your home state and for the first time, it's indescribable, and everything just kind of went silent. The crowd was so loud, and it's almost like, you know, when you're running and you're thinking and just everything just kind of goes out, and that's just kind of what happened. It was my moment to kind of suck in everything that just happened, and it took a little bit, and my tears just fled as soon as I got backstage. It was just uncontrollable. I was just so happy, and I just finally just kept saying to myself, oh, my God, I did it. I did it. I cannot believe I did it. I just proved the whole wrestling world wrong. This Tess Barker did. Because I know no one thought I could do it, you know, because I'm just a model. I'm just this. I'm unexperienced. And especially getting in the ring with somebody as talented and such a tremendous athlete as Gail. So, you know, it's a great feeling. And you talk about pressure. Of course, there's a lot of pressure before because I'm trying to prove everyone wrong that I'm not just a model, that I am an athlete, that I can do it, that I'm just as good, that I can hang in the ring. But now, I do believe the pressure, it's a lot worse now. It's hard to, you know, once you go up, the only thing you can do is stay up and then go down. So going out there every week to defend the championship, that's pretty difficult. You know, you're just hoping, okay, don't let this be the match, Brooke, don't mess up. You know, it just takes, with Gail Kim and Madison Rayne, Mickie James, it takes one wrong mistake for you to turn your back and then it's done and it's over. And that's very difficult. And when you're as new as me and I do still make rookie mistakes and I'm still learning, thank God I have people like Tara in my corner and my trainers back at home to help teach me these things. But, you know, it just takes one wrong move and then it's done. So.
The you know, since winning the championship, you've been on the road pretty much every weekend for TNA. How has being able to work all those house shows and all those live events helped you in terms of learning as and growing as a performer in comparison to just coming to TV and training away from a live crowd?
Doing my suggestion to everyone is to get as many live show, you know, practices as you can, because what's scary, I think, the most is to get out there in front of people, and there's nothing to compare when you go to TV, but to make the mistakes, it's better to make them while you're not on live TV, and this is how you learn. You learn when you're on the road. That's how you get better. That's how I think you master your craft, and where you can go and experience things, you know, because when the title's on the line, that's not really a time to pull out new things just to experiment them, you know. I think when you go on the road, this gives you a chance to really master these things and try them out for the first time. And, you know, it's an awesome way to get out there and feel the crowd, get the people behind you. And I love going on the road to see other people that don't get to see us. You know, we're always in Orlando, and it's awesome to get a new crowd out there and to meet other fans that, you know, have been waiting for months to meet you. So it's great for experience. It's great to help master your skills in the ring, and it's great to help calm you. I get so anxious before I walk out, and nervous and freaked out and excited and ready, and it's just all these emotions. And when you're traveling on the road each week, and it teaches you to calm that and to relax and to really think about what matters and to think about what you're going to do in the ring and to slow down, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Jason Price with Icon versus Icon.
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
Pretty good. Thanks for taking time out. My question is, do you think it's easier for the dedicated women of professional wrestling, such as yourself, to carve out a career for themselves than it's been in years past, or is it still an uphill battle?
I don't think it's easier. That's a tough question. When I got into the business, I came through the Diva Search. So I think, I don't even know if they have that anymore. And I think now it's easier in a sense that women are getting looked at more, that we're getting taken seriously, but there still isn't, you know, massive amounts of trials. But, you know, we have gut checks, so that's awesome for people to come in and get recognized. It's still quite a bit hard, you know, because you've got to find where you're looking. You've got to find your place to shine. And even with women wrestling, you know, we're still proving ourselves every month, every week. And it'll still take time, but we have done that. Definitely, I don't know how to explain if it's easier or harder. It's really about just getting yourself out there and finding where you will get seen, you know what I mean?
Gotcha. Well, that being said, with such a premier line of talent in the company, you've had a chance to rub elbows with many legends of the sport. What's the best piece of advice someone has given you on your way?
To be patient. Be patient and to slow down. It's very difficult to get out there and get lost, and, you know, you get so freaked out and your emotions are starting to control you, and this is not something that you will get overnight. I've always been really good at everything that I've done as far as sports and being an athlete, and I've really had to take a step back and suck everything in and keep my mouth closed and be patient, because it's not something you will get overnight, and something that you'll have to work for in months to come. So definitely be patient.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Jonathan Williams with WrestlingWithPopCulture.com.
Hey, Brooke. It's a pleasure to talk to you today.
Hi. How are you?
Doing okay. As you mentioned earlier, you got your start in wrestling as the Diva Search contestant and dancer for Extreme Exposé and all that kind of stuff. And you were getting your first big break in WWE around the same time that TNA introduced its Knockouts title.
Yes.
But because of the way you broke into the industry, there are still some who are critical of your title reign, even though you've defeated, you know, some of the top women talents currently in the industry to win it and retain it. So what do you think you could do to win some of those people over and prove your worth as a women's champion?
Really, it's just me continuing what I'm doing at home, continuing the training, continuing, you know, watching every week, women and mastering what they're doing and coming out there and doing my best. It'd take time, and I understand that. I understand that some people are like, oh, this is a joke. Oh, she doesn't deserve it. But in all reality, I do deserve where I am because I have fought for this for a very long time. And some people might not think that I'm the best, but right now I'm the best at this time. I won fair and square. There was no cheating involved. There was no anything, no surprises. And all I've got to keep doing is coming out each week and bringing the fire that I bring and to continue to win. And I will do that. I will not come out there and not bring everything I have each week. It's going to take someone to pretty kill me and lay me out before they take the championship from me. And I will continue to do this and prove everybody wrong each week. And, you know, I'm thrilled to do it. You know, it gets me excited when I do hear that, because I do want to prove everyone wrong. I am a very competitive person by nature, and, you know, you're not going to be liked by everyone no matter what. You're not going to be believed in by everyone no matter what. And one of my biggest priorities is to go out there and prove myself to everyone, and over time prove that I do deserve it and prove that I can hang with some of these legends and be just as good.
Okay. Somewhat unrelated, but in the men's world of wrestling, in both TNA and WWE, over the past few months, we've seen former indie stars like Austin Aries become champions. I don't know how much you follow women's indie wrestling, but is there anyone in the indie scene that you think deserves a shot, maybe at your title or somewhere else?
I don't really follow it too much. My apologies for that, but I definitely don't. I follow, you know, the women that we are here today. I'm very proud of all the girls that we have, and unfortunately it's not something that I have ever followed since I've been in wrestling, but, you know, Austin Aries, that's phenomenal. He was the underdog, and look at him now, you know, so it's actually a great story. I'm sure there's a lot of women out there, and, you know, I would love to have them to be a part of our company if, you know, they're going to come and give everything that we give. So.
All right.
Sorry,
that's okay.
Your next question comes from the line of Adam Babby with VT Journal.
Hi there, Brooke. Good evening to you.
Hi, how are you?
Great, yeah. Living it up in sunny Glasgow tonight in Scotland.
Oh, wow. Nice.
It was just a quick one. First of all, well done on capturing the title, and I think your performances since you've returned have been fantastic. And that's really what I wanted to talk about, really. For me, the pinnacle of women's wrestling was a few years ago when Gail Kim and Awesome Kong were involved in a program, which even main evented.
Wow, which was amazing, which I'll never forget. It's one of the best feuds, I think, in all of TNA's history.
Oh, not even just TNA. I think in women's wrestling.
In women's wrestling in general, it's something that I don't think anybody will ever forget, and something you can never take away. I mean, just I've watched tons of those videos to learn and really grow myself, and that's something that can never be mimicked and will never be forgotten. So.
Well, that's kind of where I was going with this. With would you welcome a kind of hard fought feud with someone like Awesome Kong returning? Would you welcome that brutality of a match, or is that something that you would certainly not welcome?
I don't know. That's tough. She's killer, man, and she is strong. She's tough. She is unlike anybody else that we have right now in the division. You know, if anybody's familiar with Awesome Kong, they know what she brings to the table and the fury and the power. I'm up for any challenge. I would never turn down any challenge. I know that that would probably be one of the most difficult challenges that I would have to face. I would definitely have to grow and get stronger and really learn her craft to be able to master it. I'd have to be trying to run circles around that girl. She is insanely powerful, and I'm very small, so I would definitely have to use technique to, you know, over them power. But I definitely welcome it. Not something I'm saying would be really exciting. It would definitely be it'd be very scary for me because I am so new. But yeah, I'd take her on though.
Brilliant. Ready. Well, just a quick follow up on that. Obviously, you said, you know, you've watched those tapes over and over, and I suppose going back to you learning your craft. when you looked back and studied the tapes of wrestlers to learn your ring craft, is it just women wrestling that you look at, or was it both men and women? And secondly, who would you say you're most like with regards to modeling yourself on?
I watch a lot of Trish Stratus, because I think that I watch both men and women. I watch a lot of Shawn Michaels and Trish. Trish is, she came into the business, just being a model and not taken seriously. And to watch her grow and to be one of the best, female wrestlers today, I've gotten compared to her a lot. Hopefully I can be as great as that. And then also, of course, Kara. I've watched a lot of her tapes. I can only learn from the best. Mickie James as well. But mostly Trish Stratus because, we came in the same way, So I can only hope, like I said, that my career will be as long and fulfilled as hers.
Great. Well, good luck on Sunday, and thanks for chatting to us tonight.
Thank you so much.
Your next question comes from the line of David Dunn with NZTWI.
Hello there, Brooke. Good morning to you from New Zealand.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. I was just wondering, after you took a bit of a back seat and sort of actually set out for Destination X, how are you feeling and sort of how excited are you about getting the opportunity to have a title defense on pay-per-view at Hardcore Justice?
Well, since we did have a little break, I got to take that time to get home and kind of rest. I have been on the road, but I've also on the weekends, but that gave me a lot of time to get back and train and get ready. So I'm excited to go out there and prove myself once again on Sunday, and I think that I will. I just got to watch. We have old Earl Hebner as our ref. I'm going to have to definitely keep my eyes open because I see there's been some questionable calls. But I'm definitely excited to be back in the ring and to go out there and prove myself again.
Fantastic. I'm looking forward to it as well. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Lauren White with Caller and Al.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Down in England. I'm actually near London, which is what my question's about. Have you been watching the Olympics at all?
I've watched a little bit of it, not a whole lot because I've been on the road so much and then been practicing since I've been home. So I haven't got to see a whole lot of it, unfortunately. I did see Phelps won again, several, so he's doing really, really well. And the one gymnast, forgive me, I don't know her name, the young 16-year-old black African-American girl, she's done wonderful as well, and I've actually became a big fan of hers. I just haven't got to see it as much as I would like to.
Oh, that's a shame. The women's wrestling finals are on at the moment, so I wanted to ask you, do you think you try and do like Kurt and go into the Olympics? And if you wouldn't, which knockout would you send?
I don't know if I would. I don't know if I'm technically sound enough to do that. That's years and years of training. I think Gail would be very good at that. I know she's been one of my biggest threats, but she's very good in submission. She's very good all around, and I think she would be one of the best to send for sure.
Okay, and also just to follow up, I saw on your Twitter you are thinking of trying to get your music remixed. So my other question is, what would be your ideal music to come out to because it's so important?
I'm a rock girl. I love my music. I got to, help with what I wanted with the I Tease You Touch with kind of like the theme. I'm just, for the remix that I was looking for, I'm finally celebrating the championship that I won at Slammiversary. I haven't had the chance to because I haven't been home, and I just wanted it to be something dancey, so whenever we're celebrating, everyone's having a good time. But I love my music now. It's kind of rockish, and it's girly-ish at the same time, but I'm a Def Leppard girl, so if I could come out to pour some sugar on me, I think I should do all right. I feel like the sexiest girl in the world.
Well, thank you, and good luck. Keep doing it for us girls.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Scott Fishman with the Miami Herald.
Hey, just to follow up, you touched on it earlier, but what was the moment that, made you decide, hey, this is something I want to do full-time, this is something I want to dedicate to, make a career out of? When was that moment? would you say?
When Tara and I won the knockout championship, that's when it became very real to me. And I don't want to say she completely carried us, but, you know, she carried us a lot, and I wasn't experienced enough to do that. And I feel like I didn't bring a whole lot of I mean, I brought things to the table, but not as much as I could have. And in that moment, I realized, you know, I've got to get better. I want to get out there and be able to defend us as much as she's defending me, and I want to be able to stand on my own and hold the Knockouts Championship. To get that feeling of the best when we won the Knockouts Tag Championship, that's what made me want and get hungry for the actual championship, and I knew I had to go home and train and get a lot better to do that and grow as a wrestler and a performer.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned a story that you had a twin sister. Was there any interest in her joining you in wrestling? And I mean, a la Bella twins. And
I wish. My twin and I look absolutely nothing alike. She's cute. She's just very dainty. She is me without any muscle and probably 12, 15 pounds less, if you can imagine that. I'm pretty small. So she's very little. She's a video game type girl. I mean, I love video games, but she's just not an outdoor-y athletic person. That's not really her thing. I tried all growing up to get her involved in sports and stuff with me, and I remember being a young girl and kind of body slamming her around and using her as my dummy. And so she has no interest whatsoever. So I wish all right. That would be awesome.
Nice.
Your next question comes from the line of Neil Docking with Power Slam.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Oh, great. Thanks for taking the time to speak to us this evening.
Yeah, thank you.
You've talked a bit already about the great strides you've made over the last few months and how much you've improved as a performer. I was wondering if you could tell us, what was the toughest challenge? What have you found the most difficult in terms of raising your game and stepping up a level? Is it in the ring, or is it, you know, on the mic, or what have you really had to concentrate on?
Definitely in the ring. Obviously, talking in front of a crowd can be difficult, but at the end of the day, is that going to win you a championship? No. Perfecting your entrance or perfecting that's not going to win you a championship. It's really the toughest part is to learning the moves and learning feet work where you're not getting caught up and obviously taken advantage of and then losing. That was the most difficult, and coming up with reversals and just outsmarting my opponent. That's been very hard for me. You know, there's so many ways to get in and out of things. But that's why I do train. And I'll continue to train. But yeah, that's definitely been the toughest. So the actual training and getting in the ring and trying to outsmart my opponent.
Yeah, I mean, you've talked about your training. Have you had to alter your workouts and maybe focus on more strength work? Have you changed your routine?
Sorry, you went out. I lost you. What was that?
Sorry, I was saying, you talk about your training. Have you had to change your workouts, you know, maybe focus more on strength work and maybe change what you're looking for?
I have had to do a lot more power lifting, and I'm so little. So for me to get out there and to wrestle with these women, I've got to be a lot stronger in my legs and to be able to pick these girls up and to hang with them. So I have changed it tremendously. I run a lot too. I've had to step that up because obviously in the ring it's a lot of cardio, and I wasn't a big runner before, and now that's not an option for me, so that's changed a lot too. But I can say that my body has changed tremendously from this, and I wouldn't give it up for anything.
Yeah, eating a lot of steaks.
Yeah, I actually have, and I'm in Texas, and we grew up on eating red meat, but I never thought I would say it. But I don't want another steak. I'm burnt out. I'm like, just give me chicken. Because it's hard for me to keep weight on. Unfortunately, I'm a very small girl, and I have got to get my meals in. And always is red meat.
Did you play a lot of sports as a youngster then? You've always been athletic.
Yeah. I didn't have a whole lot. You know, like I mentioned, we my family, and we didn't get to do a whole lot of. I mean, we did what we could, and we did have a lot of fun. But my way of reaching out was sports, and Like I said, my twin sister was not the athletic type, and I just wanted to be like my brother. He played football, so I got into rugby at a young age. Volleyball, basketball, track. So I've always been an athlete, and when I got into modeling, I liked it because it was a different venture for me to be beautiful, and I loved the attention from that, but you know, it just wasn't fulfilling enough because I've been an athlete my whole life. And with pro wrestling, I can be a model, an actress, and an athlete all at once. I could be anything that I want.
Oh, great. Well, I'm pleased that it's going so well for you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Cheers.
Your next question comes from the line of Samuel Banuel with Clement Cash.
Hello, Jess. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Ah, I'm doing great. I'm very, very excited.
Awesome. You sound like it. I love it. You're getting me excited.
Woo, yes. Great. So my question is about the TNA Hall of Fame. In fact, I wanted to know which female wrestler would you like to see inducted in first position in the TNA Hall of Fame?
I think... Does it have to be somebody that's still, can it be somebody that's still wrestling? I believe Bobby Roode, he's great, he's phenomenal. And, yeah, that's who I would choose, even though he's still wrestling.
Okay, and in female wrestlers, you know, knockouts.
Repeat that one more time.
Among the knockouts wrestlers.
So
you know, among the knockouts, so maybe, I don't know, Tara, Gail Kim, or...
100% Tara. Come on, guys, you know this. She's the best of the best.
Yeah.
That's why I'm the best of the best. She's taught me everything I know, so definitely 100% Tara. She's a legend, a walking legend in her own, in every, and has been in every company in wrestling, and especially now in TNA.
Okay, and my last question would be about your workout, because I think it's the most important question of all the conference. I would like to know what kind of workout do you practice to have such a perfect butt?
Butt? Did you say butt? I'm sorry, I'm laughing because I knew this question would come up at some point.
It's for my mother. For my mother and for my girlfriend,
okay.
I needed to ask it. So what's your workout?
I do, I actually do every week only 30 minutes of different glute workouts. I do these things called flutter kicks, donkey kicks. It's kind of hard to describe. I don't know what some of them are called, but lots of lunges to the ground, walking lunges, squats all the way to the ground. That's very, very important, and a lot of people use the excuse, oh, that's bad on your knees and your back, and that's not the case. It's actually better because you're taking the torque off. But doing a squat, but all the way to the ground, I mean, that's what I've been doing for years, and nobody likes to do it, but sprint outside, 10 100-meter sprint, and it will give you a killer glute. But I do plan on coming out with my own glute workout video, so then I can show the whole world what I do.
Wow. Cool. Okay, thank you, Tess. Bye.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Jason Price with Icon versus Icon.
You kind of touched on it a little bit with your past in modeling and acting and things like that. I was just curious if there was anything on your short list to accomplish outside of the world of professional wrestling.
Yes, I would like to. Like I just mentioned, I'm working with a company in Dallas to have my own workout videos. I'm very passionate in health, and I'm very passionate in teaching others about how I've gotten to where I have. I have worked my whole life, and I started doing Richard Simmons, if anybody knows who that is. I mean, come on, his ab routine when I was like 7. So I wanted abs at 7. I mean, that's a little unrealistic, but that's when I started training, and I want to, you know, kind of show the world how I've got here and do little tips on keeping healthy and eating food that is good for you but not killing you. I'd like to step into acting a little bit. I'm also working here with another company to improve my speaking skills and acting skills. Acting for me is not natural. So I'd like to do that and do a few more music videos. as well. So that's a little bit more mainstream what I'm kind of looking for outside of wrestling, but also obviously maintaining my career with Impact is the most important. So.
Awesome. Well, we look forward to watching the evolution. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Brady Hicks with Pro Wrestling.
Pro Wrestling Illustrated, by the way. But, Brooke, just a real quick follow-up, and then I promise I'll leave you alone. It was something that you mentioned earlier.
You are okay.
you mentioned Trish Stratus being, like, a role model for you when you were getting into wrestling.
Yeah.
I was just curious, how important is it to you to continue to improve in the ring, seeing as you're probably a role model for lots of girls and guys that are coming up now?
It's very important because, you know, I think that I'm a story. You know, I came into it as being a dancer originally. I don't think anyone ever saw me being on step into the ring. And then when I came in to Impact, I came in as a secretary. I was kind of thrown into the wolves when Eric fired me. And, pretty much the underdog. And I am showing people that if you have the heart and the want and the determination, you can get there. It might take a month. It might take 2 years, as long as you never give up. And that's probably what's the most important thing to me is to inspire others and to tell my story and to show that, you know, it is realistic and that it is attainable, you know, to have a dream, to have a desire, and just to go for it. So it is very important to me.
Awesome. Now, I promise
awesome
I'm going to go
feeling
away now.
It's such a great feeling, too.
Cool. Well, best of luck. Take care.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Adam Bavy with VTube Journal.
Hi, Brooke, again. Adam in Glasgow. It was just a follow-up question from earlier on, actually. Obviously, TNA is coming back, or sorry, Impact Wrestling is coming back to the UK next year in January. Just wanted to know if you're going to be on the tour and what you think of the UK.
Okay, I am so excited to exclusively announce. I was waiting for this question because I just found out today that I have been added to the card for the UK tour. And I have never been, so this is going to be the first time for me, and I just can't even describe my excitement for this because I haven't got to go over there, and now that I found out today when I'm doing this interview, now I get to explicitly tell you that. I've never been over there, so I don't really know how to tell you what I think of it, but I think it's amazing, and it's going to be a great opportunity, and I'm ready. I cannot wait.
Oh, well, in that case, if you've never been here before, when you get into Glasgow, make sure you you give me a call and I'll show you around.
Yeah, you give me a personal tour?
Absolutely. It'd be a pleasure.
Tell me the first thing I should eat when I get there.
Oh, in Scotland? I suppose the stereotypical answer would be haggis, but I think you'd have to try something like they deep fry Mars bars up here.
That's
a delicacy
amazing.
You're
going
to have to try.
All right, I'm going to hold you up to it.
All right, well, I look forward to seeing you in January.
All right, thank you.
Your next question comes from Mike Johnson with PWInsider.com.
Hello again, Brooke. How are you?
Mikey Poo. I'm still amazing.
Awesome. You know, you mentioned your twin sister earlier. What's her take on your success in the business, and how often does she get mistaken for you? Obviously, you guys probably look similar. So how often does she get mistaken for you, and what's her whole stance on this strange world you've jumped into?
Well, actually, the funny thing is we look nothing alike. We don't even look like sisters. So that's why I get, you know, the question a lot. Oh, my God, why don't you bring her to wrestling? And we don't resemble each other. It's amazing how two girls can be twins and look as different as we do. The only thing that's similar is our voices and our kind of dry sense of humor. That's about it. We don't agree really on much of anything else. She's pretty shy. I'm not. She in high school and growing up, we didn't get along. But now that we have grown up together, obviously, and grew up, she is my biggest fan. When she used to work at Hooters, she would make sure everyone was silent and all the TVs were on Impact, watching me every week. She carries my trading cards with her. still give me random calls whenever I'm out and about taking care of my errands to talk to people. She's like, oh, my God, you have to tell this person who you are. They just don't believe me. So she has become my biggest fan. And, I mean, I get a good phone call every week. Brooke, did you know that you're on this website? Did you know what just happened last week in the match? Oh, my gosh. I'm like, yeah, that was me. I was there. So it's really, really it's funny. She's like, I can't believe she did that to you. Or I'll go back behind the stage because she'll be watching it live, and she's like asking me questions while I'm wrestling. It's like, great, you know I was in the ring, right?
Don't let
her do that. So she's cool. She's
awesome. You mentioned getting the chance to go to England for the first time as part of the UK tour. Are there any other places that are kind of on your personal checklist? Like, a lot of wrestlers talk about they all want to go to Japan. I don't know if that's on your radar. Like, what, you know, are there any places or any cities that you haven't had a chance to go to yet, either internationally or even domestically, that you want to go in performance?
Japan's not really on my list. I think it would be cool, but I would like to go to Australia. I think that would be awesome. South America and South Africa, somewhere in South Africa, like Johannesburg, I think that would be cool. Not really Japan. For some reason, I just think of small, confined spaces that I try, and I'm really claustrophobic. And, I'm not sure about that. I would go with Australia. That's probably my number one, and then South America would be amazing. I think that would be just totally different now that we're all in.
One last question, then we'll let you go. How are you about, you know, you were Miss Testmacher, now you're Brooke Testmacher, or excuse me, you were, and then you went back to Miss Testmacher again. You know, were you a little disappointed when they decided to start to downplay your first name again, or do you just feel like everyone knows who I am, it doesn't matter?
Obviously I want my name, and I wanted to keep it, and it seems to like go from, you know, Miss Testmacher to Brooke and then back to Miss Testmacher, and I'm not a secretary anymore. But you know what? A name is a name. What really matters is that I come out to the ring and I'm performing to my capability every week. You know, at the end of the day, I'm still Testmacher. It doesn't matter. And bringing in Brooke Hogan has been a great thing, and I think it was just, you know, we had to do it just so there was no confusion. And that's fine because she's brought me a lot of opportunities, and she's only going to continue to bring the knockouts opportunities. So it's not necessarily a bad thing. Of course, you know, I want to keep my name, but like I said, as long as I'm doing what I can do in the ring, that's really what matters. So we'll see where it goes from there, if I'll keep a miss or if I'll have another game. Anyway, either way, I'm still Tess, okay, guys? That's all. Don't mess with Tess. That's all you got to remember. Don't mess with Tess. Oh, yeah,
no. Well, there you go. Well, I thank you very much. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take two more questions, and then we're going to wrap up the call.
Your next question comes from the line of Doug Kapoor with Slam Wrestling.
Hey, Brooke, it's actually Bob Kapoor. Question.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
Yeah.
From Toronto, you might remember me from the...
I do.
I hope all's well. Question, especially, you know, given your upbringing and such and you know, your situation when you were younger, what's been the best part and the, conversely, the worst part of being famous?
I think the best part is that you have a say in a word that people listen and they believe in you, and you have a voice. There's a lot of young kids that follow us on Twitter and that are looking up to you, but in the same sense, that is the same thing that can be the word. So a message or something that you post or say can be taken in so many ways. And the worst thing that happened to me was I was called a racist on Twitter over an inside joke between Gail Kim and everybody behind, you know, closed doors. And that was very hard for me, because if the last thing I am is not a racist. You know, I believe in all diversities, and that's what makes this world turn. So in the same sense of what is the greatest thing about being famous can also be the worst, because you know, there's always ears and eyes on you at every moment, and you've really got to watch what you say and how you say it, and it can get you in a lot of trouble. So, yeah.
All right, thanks. Just to follow up, in terms of Sunday, other than your match, what are you looking forward to the most?
For Sunday, keep it the championship. I mean, come on, that's it. I know I've got to be careful because I know if we get Earl, I mentioned this early on in the interview, I know there's going to be some kind of shenanigans going on. I don't know what's going on between them. It's a little weird to me. It kind of grosses me out. I'm not going to lie. I don't understand it. The whole Viagra thing that he brought up. Also, I don't know about that. I'm a little grossed out, but I believe she's just using him. And that's not going to work on Sunday. I'm here to tell her that. I am ready and more prepared now. I've seen this go on for 2 weeks, and she wants to get a little on the test, so I'm going to bring it to her.
Great. Thanks. Good luck. Take care.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for calling in. And be sure to watch Hardcore Justice this Sunday. And have a good rest of your day.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect.